Your conference is being recorded.
Hey there, Chad. I'm ready to roll if you are.
Cool. Yeah, you bet.
Cool, man. So I was trying to kind of like dig up some stuff about like your past as a musician, because I know you from Great American Taxi in the mid-2000s, of course. And can you talk about like your formative years and when you first started gigging?
Sure. I mean, I've been living in Colorado for over 20 years now. I think it's coming up on 24 years, and went to college up at Colorado State University in Fort Collins, and really started putting bands together already back then. I went to school, started school in 1993, and I think my first college band was in 1994, playing, you know, house parties and frat parties and some of the bars around Fort Collins. And it started there and continued on, hasn't really stopped since. So played in a lot of local bands, backed up a great singer-songwriter from the area named John McKay for a while. And then Vince Herman and I had been playing in some just kind of one-off bands and projects for gigs here and there, and until we started to put Great American Taxi together as a full-time touring band in 2005.
Yeah, and that was still like the heyday of when jam bands were actually headlining festivals. And I mean, yeah, it was a great time to be in Colorado as a music fan. I could imagine as a musician even better.
And I think the scene here is still, you know, super great, and you know, there's so many bands in the roots Americana and jam scenes that can come to Colorado and play a venue like Red Rock, because there's such a big fan base for that style of music here, versus, you know, a lot of those bands probably can't fill a venue that big in other parts of the country. So I think that's a real testament to how strong and vital the Colorado scene is for jam and roots music.
Oh, without question. I mean, I live in Richmond, California, the Bay Area now, and they don't even, like, bands like Railroad Earth or Leftover Salmon, I mean, they get a good draw, but they don't even necessarily sell out. So the Colorado scene and the fan devotion is unparalleled, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a special place, for sure.
And so you've been a part of that for quite a while now. And I was at, being a Boulder native, I was at your premiere show on December 20th, 2013, yours, meaning the Hardworking Americans. And I was taken.
Oh, cool.
I was so taken. Like, how did this trick formulate? Obviously, you and Todd have a relationship, Dwayne and Dave, but this is different than anything else you all done previously. So what brought it all to you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I do some management work too for artists, and one of those artists is Todd Snyder and his solo stuff, and I had put a show together for Todd up in Napa Valley, we had asked, I had an idea to reach out to Dave Schools, because I knew Dave was living in the area. And I had an idea. I ran by Todd to reach out to Dave to see if Dave would want to play with Todd in Napa. And so we reached out to Dave, and he was totally interested and down. He and Todd knew each other from many years ago. Todd had opened for Widespread Panic before, and those guys had bumped into each other from time to time, and were total fans of one another. So they decided to do the gig together. And they, Dave invited a drummer, Paolo Baldi, Paolo Baldi, the drummer from Cake, actually, to play the gig too. So they played it as a trio and had a ton of fun. And Todd and Dave got to talking after the gig and decided they really wanted to, you know, at least try to maybe make an album together or play some more gigs together. So Todd passed along that news to me, and we started to talk and kind of decided, hey, let's try to put a band together to record an album. and we'll do a little touring after the album to support the album. And that was kind of the initial idea. And so we had to start deciding who else to invite to maybe be part of it. And after a lot of back and forth with a lot of different musicians, it really kind of just took its own shape, and the energy pushed towards, you know, asking Dwayne to play drums and asking Neil to play guitar. And we made that first record as a five piece. We didn't have the second guitar player. We didn't have Jesse Acock at the time yet.
Yeah, it's very hard to, you don't want to pigeonhole the sound of hardworking Americans. You have Todd, who's kind of like we meet Doc Watson, and all of the other elements coming together, bringing their own path. What I was surprised when I was, you know, doing the research on the first album is every single one is a cover. And it's not just canonical blues and rock. It's a lot of contemporary and unlikely for a premier album from a brand new band. So how did y'all click with those selections in the early gigs, and why were those songs meaningful to you?
Well, you know, a lot of that came from Todd. You know, I think he saw this all as, you know, this was a great opportunity to try something new. He didn't, you know, necessarily want the pressure on himself or put upon the band to come out of the gates writing a batch of songs. And he had been collecting songs from kind of his contemporaries and peers, some of his favorite current songwriters, because Todd gets asked to produce albums from time to time. And he kind of had been keeping this running file of songs. I think initially there were like 25 songs he had, and he had kind of been holding on to them for other people to potentially produce other artists recording these songs. And then when this whole idea came up, he decided that we should go that path, kind of also looking to some of the rock and roll greats before us, you know, the Beatles and Rolling Stones. And I mean, even the Grateful Dead recorded some covers on their first album. You know, it's kind of a way to introduce something new, with also, you know, giving people something they might recognize. So that was kind of the idea behind it, was using these songs Todd had been collecting over the last 5 to 10 years and put our own flavor to them and make the first record that way.
Excellent. And clearly a lot has happened since a studio album of mostly originals and two live albums, one we're about to dig deep into. I have kind of a vague general question. Maybe you could help me wrap my head around the meaning of the band's name, Hardworking Americans. It's been talked about obscurely. And of course, there's a whole new broad identity with being American, being in this divided socio-political climate in our country. No one can ignore whichever side you happen to be on. So what
Right.
being in a band called Hardworking Americans mean to you, mean to the band at this point?
Well, I think there's a lot of layers to it. The idea behind it initially, Todd had come up with the name and kind of the idea behind it. And that idea was that, you know, there's usually, it seems there's one side of the aisle, and I won't mention who, that, you know, seems to try to take patriotism and take Americanism as their own, you know, and put one label on it. And to us, it was like hardworking Americans can come in a lot of different shapes and sizes. And, you know, a lot of time musicians get a bad rap as being lazy or not being very hardworking. And, you know, that couldn't be further from the truth. Whether you're in a van or even on a bus, even flying on a plane and touring, it's very demanding work, physically, spiritually, mentally. So we kind of wanted to make a statement that, you know, hey, we're hardworking Americans too, and hardworking Americans come in all kinds of, you know, as I said, shapes and sizes, and we wanted to call attention to that and kind of reclaim patriotism for the other side of the aisle.
Awesome. Thank you. I recently spoke with Country Joe McDonald, which was a joy.
Cool.
And he talked about protest music and topical songs are often obscure. And I think that your guys' music comes as close to topical songwriting as what we got going right now in the whole grand scheme. So, you know, keep at it. And he was so funny about it too.
Yeah, well, Country Joe is certainly an inspiration to us and what, you know, he's accomplished in his career. And, you know, yeah, certainly, you know, Todd has always written from a very topical and present day place. But Todd's not the type of writer that assumes he necessarily knows what he's talking about. So he likes to write from a place that allows the listener to absorb what he's saying without sounding preachy or telling people what to do or think. And I think he always accomplishes that and, you know, in many different ways with his writing.
Yeah, it's crazy. It was so, the only time I've seen you guys live, and I will catch the gig in Oakland with Tedeschi Trucks, which I'm excited about.
Cool.
Yeah, I can't wait. I noticed how each of you individually, you were like all highlighted in a way never before, playing in this kind of, in this spirit and with this message, but it's, you know, it's more about the kind of like the music. So we're at this crossroads with this brand new live album on August 4th coming out. We're all in this together. You're a rockling unit of badass roots rockers is what it comes down to. And I mean, it's awesome to hear, you know, how, compared to the, the Waltz? What was your first, the title of your first live album?
Yeah, the first Waltz, which was, a concept our record label owner, George Bodecker, Bodecker, shortly after the band, you know, shortly after we got the record done and we had set that first date at Boulder Theater, George said to us all at one point, he said, you know, The Last Waltz is one of my favorite all time, you know, kind of rockumentary concert films. And, you know, how amazing that they documented their last gig together. He's like, you know, this is such a special unit of players and it just feels like such a special thing we're setting off to do here. Let's. At first we kind of laughed and thought he was joking and, you know, then thought about it and it all started to kind of make sense. I mean, we were a little leery about putting that much pressure on ourselves to perform at a strong enough level on our first gig out of the gates to actually put it out as a release. But, you know, between the music and then what Justin Kreutzmann did, with some of the behind the scenes footage, it really came out great.
Yeah, I agree. It's a funny parallel with the band also that their first couple of gigs, I believe, I can't remember if they were in San Francisco, but they had never performed live before in that unit before they put out the band self-titled and Big Pink. And
yeah.
So you think about that parallel of that pressure with the songs already being there, but the live, you know, the whole live element.
Yeah, totally.
New to everyone. So yeah, right on. This new, you know, we're all in this together. Totally different story though. This is like testament to how the band sounds on the road and how you've grown as a unit and schools produced and you had some great talent also in the post-production realm. Can you talk about the energy captured at these shows, the crowd interaction, fueling the vibes? I know there was a certain show in Birmingham that makes up a lot of this.
Yeah. You know, and I think that title, We're All In This Together, you know, as you mentioned, what you've noticed as a listener to the band of how everyone plays so well together and really supports the song, you know, and that's a big part of it. Like, it's, as a band, we're all in this together. We're all in here to convey these songs as best we can. But then, you know, we also realize as most of us come from some kind of jam background, and all being kind of disciples of the Grateful Dead school, you know, it's just, it's very important as to, you know, getting that audience and to participate in the performance. You know, it can get to a point where the audience and the band and the venue and everything just kind of becomes one, and everything else disappears and kind of fades away into the background. And it's such a be here now moment. So, you know, with the title, we really wanted to emphasize that. And just, you know, with what's going on today in this country of how divided we are, you know, we still, I think as a group of people really firmly believe that we're much more similar than we are different. So, you know, that was part of emphasizing that too. As far as the performances, this band is, I find it to be very special in the fact that I have yet to step on stage with this group of guys and have someone, you know, not paying attention or not being 100% engaged and involved and giving it every ounce of energy they have. So I think that's a really special thing about this band, is how much everyone cares about being on stage and how sacred that time is to everyone. And you know, when you can convey that, because as a band, first of all, that's, it's your job to start that initiation of engaging the audience. But if you come out swinging and giving it your all and can get those people involved, then a really special alchemy starts to happen. And really the whole, you know, we did two big tours last year to support the new studio album, Rest in Chaos. And the second tour was in August. The first tour was in May. And we had just decided, Todd had the idea, hey, let's, you know, we've got the equipment with us. Let's multi-track every night on the tour, and maybe we'll come out with a live album. And part of the reason too, behind that was, we started to make this Rest in Chaos album literally after the band finished its first tour in February of 2014. We were touring on the first album. We had just started going out as a band, and we hopped into a studio in Chicago after our like seventh or eighth show, and just started putting down some tracks and then started to chip away at it. We thought maybe we were doing some demos. We didn't even really have a plan fully together behind it. It just felt like something we should do because things were working so well. We wanted to see what we could do in the studio as a creative entity collectively. And so we did that, and we got that material, a bunch of material in Chicago. And then we went back almost a year later in Nashville at the end of a tour and did some more recording. And then there was some subsequent recording in Nashville after that. So that album, you know, was created over like a 2-year period. And when we finally got it all put together and released, we were really satisfied with it, but we knew those songs were going to evolve as we got to play them live. So after that first tour of playing them live, Todd just really felt like, hey, let's record these now live as they're living and breathing, because they're taking on a different life. So we went with that and recorded that whole tour in August of 2016. And that, you know, and it just so turned out that when Dave went back through the recordings, it was him and I that went through a lot of the recordings from that tour. We both kind of just felt like Birmingham had most of the components, and the playing was really solid. There was only a couple tunes that we didn't take from Birmingham, either because we didn't play a particular song that night, or maybe the version wasn't as good as a version from a couple nights before or afterwards. So we kind of, you know, kind of, for lack of a better metaphor, kind of felt like we, you know, captured some lightning in a bottle.
I mean, I can't argue with that. The first three tracks alone, even, I mean, it's just so heavy hitting. And you can feel it. And I interviewed Vince Herman, and he once said to me that going to a show is the only place besides church where everyone is there for the same undivided purpose. It is something like
yeah.
that, is what he said. And,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That is what hardworking American is. And it's incredible that, you know, we're getting kind of this document of the evolution. So there's this silly term thrown around, supergroup. And you guys have evolved from that. In fact, I don't know if you were ever a supergroup. It was just notable that there were a lot of heavy hitter players in the band. So what has the evolution as a unit for y'all, what kind of evolution is there any way you can put into words, like what's changed in 2 years, like how you guys interact as friends, musically, whatever?
We've kind of got this funny running theme in the band. You know, people started calling us the super group when we introduced the concept in the band to the general public. So we now say that we have graduated from being a super group to a superhero group, and we're out to solve crimes and save the world. And and you know, it's kind of tongue in cheek, but we also kind of firmly believe that rock and roll and that rebel attitude and spirit is probably needed now more than ever. And we want to be carriers of that if we can. And we invite, you know, anyone and everyone who's willing to go on that crusade with us to come along and help us solve crimes and save the world.
Yeah. And that's the best way to put it. I mean, it really is. It's really just it's inspiring music. It's meant to get people thinking and feeling, and those vibes. Even though the Dead never really touched topical songwriting the way you guys do, that was like the spirit of the community. Were those
totally. I mean, kind of
explicit.
Yeah, kind of. You know. And that, again, kind of harkens back to what I was saying about hardworking Americans. You know, it's kind of like, you know, some may want to call us outsiders, but I don't think we are. I think there's a lot of people, first of all, that can dig rock and roll, you know, and then I think there's a lot of people, of no matter what your religion or belief system is or your politics, that want to go out and have a good time. And you know, as Todd says in that early invocation at the beginning of the album, like, why not tonight? Why can't tonight be the best night of our entire lives? You know, and we I think honestly believe that as a group going out there every night to play, that, hey, let's try, you know, it's again such a be here now moment. Let's do this the best we can and try to make this the best night we've ever had in our lives. Why not? Why not go for that every day? You know, this life is so short, and we all kind of have this impending death hanging over our shoulders. Like, let's celebrate life and go for it tonight, you know? And that's a big part of who we are, I think.
It's not all about hits on Spotify.
Some will tell you that.
Oh man. Well, no, you guys have got the right idea for sure. And I've grown to appreciate Neil Castle and listen to Todd's music more over the years, and seeing Dwayne come into Widespread Panic. So bringing me to kind of my wrap-up question, you guys all seem to have a lot going on. Do you feel like sustaining kind of like togetherness and continuing to tour? I mean, you're doing quite a number of dates this year, but how do you see the future of hardworking Americans? Is it just like keep it going when we can, or any comments?
Well, I think this band is really becoming a big focus for everyone due to a lot of different things, due to, you know, the present day climate of everything that's going on in the world. Some things are slowing down for some people, so some more focus can be put on this. I really think you're going to see this band become a real living and breathing thing that's out there in this country and probably beyond, out into, you know, international territory sooner than later. We're planning to do quite a bit. We've already wrapped up a new studio album that we recorded at Johnny Cash's old studio on his property in Hendersonville. That's going to get mixed in a couple weeks in Nashville by Vance Powell. Vance, some of his better known work is all the stuff he's done for Jack White and the White Stripes. He's been mixing the last couple of Chris Stapleton albums. And there's a whole It's another new chapter for Hardworking Americans. This record sounds nothing like what we've done so far. And we're going to continue to challenge ourselves to do that. And we're really excited about this next record. We think it's the best yet. And we're excited for people to hear this live stuff. You know, as you said, the band has evolved a lot, and we've really gelled and become a cohesive unit. So we couldn't be more excited about what the future holds and where we're headed.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Chad. I mean, it's exciting.
Yeah, you bet.
It's exciting to be kind of like in the scene and feel like I'm along with it with you guys, and to not feel totally
isolated. Definitely are, man.
The area.
Yeah, you definitely are. We're all in this together for sure. So it was great talking to you about all this, and thanks for taking the time and helping you know, spread the word about the band and the new live album.
Oh, of course, my pleasure. I've been a longtime supporter of you guys, and Nedfest and Great American Taxi are some of my dearest memories from college. So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I love that. Well, you know, anytime you're around at a show or festival, we're there. Try to come find me and track me down. You got my digits too, so.
Right on, Chad. Thank you so much. And meanwhile, I'll be in touch. I'll let you know when the interview is up.
Awesome, man. Thanks. We'll talk soon. Take care.
All right, Chad. Be well. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.